Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, Justin, what did you think of Joe versus the Volcano?
It is either a lovely first installment to the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan romantic comedy trilogy. Or it is a hallucinogenic fever dream that Tom Hanks experiences in Castaway after he leaves the island and he's just kind of floating along. Before he gets rescued.
All right.
After losing Wilson and before the ship, you could insert Joe versus the Volcano.
Huh. I'm going to say it is a philosophical masterpiece akin to Groundhog's Day.
That too.
So, for those of you who are joining us, welcome. For those who are joining us for the first time, hey, we're glad you're here. Just as much as everyone else, you're not special.
Take a seat. We've already started.
You want me to watch what? Justin and I, who have seen literal thousands of movies between the two of us, found that there are some movies that are just under the radar, over the radar, or weirdly around the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And so we suggest things to one another just to see, hey, what'd you think of this? Today, yeah. Joe versus the Volcano. A dark comedy, a black comedy is what it was actually listed as. 1990, Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, but also with Lloyd Bridges, Robert Stack, Abe Vigoda, Dan Hedaya. I mean, lots of folks in this.
Yeah.
And it is about Joe. Joe Banks, a cleric worker, you know, a clerical job worker in Staten Island who is just absolutely miserable.
Yep.
And this film devotes like 20 minutes at the beginning to that misery.
Oh, yeah. Just him getting into work.
Him getting into work and his demanding and joyless boss, his, you know, the other staff in the office that are just zombies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one bit of joy Joe has plugging in his musical lamp is immediately, you know, shut down and told to get rid of because work's not supposed to be fun.
Yep.
And I don't know if you could hear it too, but there is that fluorescent light sound.
Uh-huh.
Just permeating that scene.
Yep.
We'll keep on talking. But to the plot. Joe goes to a doctor. He's been having problems. He is sure that something is wrong with him. And finally, a doctor tells him, you have a brain cloud. There are no distinct symptoms, but it's going to kill you within 5 or 6 months. You know, you have some time left, so live it well. So then we go back to the office and Joe quits.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With a wonderful rant.
Oh, yeah.
Just a magical rant.
The kind we all wish we could do.
Indeed. And he goes on a date with, you know, Meg Ryan in that characterization.
Yep.
As Dee Dee. I think Dee Dee in that one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. They go on a date. They have a good time. But when Joe tells her that he's dying, she can't deal with that.
No.
And she leaves. Next day, Lloyd Bridges shows up as Samuel Graynamore to say, there is a substance called Boobaroo that I need it to make superconductors. I don't know what it is, but I know that I need it. And I know that the people of Waponi Woo have it. And they'll only keep giving it to me if I get somebody to solve their problem. They need to appease the fire god of the volcano by having a voluntary human sacrifice. And so since you only got like a little bit of time left, how about you volunteer, jump into the volcano within 20 days, and I will pay for you to have the best 20 days of your life. And Joe accepts, as though he were agreeing to go to the corner market for a beer.
Yes.
I'll do it. And so he gets up the next day. He gets a chauffeur. They go out on the town. He solicits advice for everything from style to food to anything and everything. And Marshall, you know, takes him around. He gets a haircut, you know, all these different things. It, a few months after this movie released, Pretty Woman released. All right.
Okay.
And the emotional high point of Pretty Woman, Pretty Woman, is when Julia Roberts goes shopping on Rodeo Drive and she is victoriously, you know, dressed herself up. I don't know if you've seen the movie.
I have, yes.
So that's like the emotional high point,
mm-hmm.
right? This is before that, there was this.
Yes.
Where Joe is going and he's buying a suit. He's going to buy an Armani tux or Armani suit. Why? Because that's what he's planning to die in. You know, he goes and gets a good haircut. He goes and buys luggage from a man who is, we'll say, a little bit too into luggage.
Yes. Excessively enthusiastic.
Uh-huh. Ned Ryerson? It wasn't played by that guy, but it's same kind of enthusiasm. and so all this happens, and then it's time to fly to Los Angeles. He meets one of Grey Namor's daughters, Angelica, played by Meg Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And Angelica she's kind of a flighty socialite. She's an artist. And her job is to basically keep him happy, take him out to dinner, and get him to the boat on time.
Mm-hmm.
It goes as it does, except at the end of their dinner, like Angelica, she talks about how we're not going to talk about our feelings because those are fake. And so later on when she says, do you want me to sleep with you kind of thing? Joe's like, nah, it's a weird interaction that I want to talk about later. Hopefully I'll remember.
Okay.
And the next day, Joe shows up at the yacht the Tweedledee, which is captained by Patricia, played by Meg Ryan.
Yep.
And Patricia's agreed to take Joe to Whapani Woo, and Grey Namor has promised to give her the yacht. It's a little awkward to begin. She's kind of abusive, and I think gruff is the right word.
Yes.
She is gruff. And it turns out that it's because she tried to stay out of her father's stuff over and over again. He found something that she finally wanted, and he would give it to her if.
Yep.
And so it's like she knows she has a price now, and her father found it.
Mm-hmm.
Just as they start getting to have a bit of a relationship of at least mutual tolerance, enter the storm, at which they get knocked overboard. Joe and his 4 waterproof steamer trunks that he's purchased from the very enthusiastic luggage salesman, played by Barry McGovern, actually, lashes them together to make a raft, and he and Patricia are the only two left alive. She's unconscious, so he's giving her just a little bit of that fresh water to keep her alive while he is continually slipping into a delirium until he has the big revelation with the moon and thanks God for his life. And at that moment, he kind of... He makes his decision. Like, that's the point where he's like, oh, I get it. Life. It's actually something for living.
Yeah.
Patricia wakes up. At that point, he kind of drifts off. But luckily, they've made it to Whapani Woo. The Whaponis treat him to a big feast. Chief Toby, played by Abe Vigoda.
Mm-hmm.
And the Whapani advance man, played by Nathan Lane.
Yep.
Just, there's food, there's dancing and so forth, and the chief asks one more time, anybody else want to jump in the volcano? Well, nobody does, and so Joe heads on. Patricia tries to stop him, and then she declares her love for him, which is about the only poorly constructed, you know, romance trope in this.
Yeah.
Because it's out of nowhere. I mean, they get along, but it's really he saved her life, and that was kind of the tipping point for there. And he's like, I love you too. I don't think I've ever been in love before, but the timing stinks. And so Patricia says, well, let's have the chief marry us then, since we're going to die anyway. What do you mean we? Yeah, I'm going to jump in with you.
You only have to love, honor, and cherish me for like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And so Joe can't dissuade her. They jump in together. The volcano erupts in that moment, blowing both of them out to the ocean where the laundry or where the steamer trunks are. And then we find out Joe's fatal brain cloud was basically manufactured by one of, you know, Lloyd Bridges, one of Graynamore's cronies, and that he's fine and he can live happily ever after.
Yep. He never thought about getting a second opinion.
I should have gotten a second opinion. This movie is, well, talk to me about this movie, Justin.
Okay. So there were a few things, like you said, the last minute, hey, do you want me to come up to your room with and Angelica?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a little out of place. But it just it still somehow fit into the overall tone of the movie of what? overall I enjoyed it. There were a few times that I actively chuckled out loud. In my mind, I had never... Okay, so I was getting this movie crossed with another Tom Hanks movie called Volunteers, which I've also never seen, but it's Tom Hanks and John Candy. And so in my mind, I was thinking John Candy was in this one somewhere. And time went on and time went on and no John Candy. And then we get to the island of Woni Wapu, whatever.
Yeah.
And the first person I see is this very heavy set individual. And my first thought is, oh no, they've done John Candy up in brown face. Oh wait, that's not him. Oh, I guess he's not in this movie. Okay. So, but for like a second, I was really worried. And then I'm like, oh, okay, we're fine. And Googled, I'm like, oh, it's not this movie. Okay.
No, this is one of those movies that has a startling lack of problematic issues.
I know.
crazy for the 90s.
Yeah. It is a silly late 80s feel rom-com. It's kind of surreal at times.
Mm-hmm.
It is unoffensive in a lot of ways. It is not something that I would put on all the time, but it is one of those, you know, I'm in the mood to ultimately feel good.
Okay. Okay. So when I said that I think this is a philosophical movie, I'm not just blowing smoke. I think the entire thing boils down to, in a sense, what it is to be alive and to be connected.
That's fair.
So the very beginning of it, when Joe's walking to work,
mm-hmm.
the very first thing that we really see that happens is the sole of his shoe breaks off. He literally loses his soul.
Yeah.
In getting to work.
Uh-huh.
You get in and there is, Dan Hedaya is his boss. And this guy's shown up at different, like, in cop roles and so forth. Yeah.
Tully from the Addams Family, the lawyer.
Thank you.
For anybody who is our age, it's Tully.
And it is, he's on the phone and it's just this most repetitious, painful thing. It's like, Harry, I know he can get the job, but can he do the job? I'm not arguing about that, Harry. Well, I know he can get the job, but can he do the job? And it goes on. It's like a minute and a half.
Yeah. All while Joe is like trying to put his coat hat, his hat on the coat hook, and it keeps breaking and trying to get coffee. And it's, yeah.
And it's bad. And his coworkers are just zombified.
Yeah.
It is great. And so it's very cold, right? The colors, it's very grayed out outside and very fluorescent green inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that there's any warmth to the scene is when he's in the doctor's office being told he's going to die.
Yeah, that is the first time you see something that is somewhat inviting. It looks like an old school study, a lot of wood and mahogany and books and comfortable looking.
And then it's right back to the grind, right back to that cold kind of thing. And Joe decides that he doesn't want that anymore. He quit his previous job as a firefighter because of trauma. And instead, he sold his life to his boss for a lousy $300 a week.
Uh-huh.
It's 1990. It's not much, but it's still better than what you're thinking.
Yeah.
That was 33 years ago.
Paul.
Yeah, it hurts that, don't it?
It does.
And so his big rant ignites a little bit of a fire in Dee Dee, the first female, and they go out on that date. But then when he tells her that he's dying, and she's like, I can't be part of this, I can't do that, he spends the night alone. You know, he's making a short connection, but then he's alone. And I go back and forth on whether she's a hero or a villain here, you know, to abandon him when he has some kind of need versus the amount of emotional labor she would have to do, you know, to connect with somebody who is going to be gone within a year.
I would say she's neither. She is human in that moment.
She is human in that moment, but movies never present somebody as just human in a moment.
True.
There's a purpose to it. And I think she's supposed to go back and forth in our mind as we're watching. Cause like, man, he just needs somebody. You know? But why does that somebody have to be her?
Yeah.
You know? And so it works out well for me there. You were gonna say something.
I like the fact that Dee Dee, Angelica, and Patricia are all played by Meg Ryan. They look after a bit I realized Dee Dee was Meg Ryan, but it took a minute. They all have different hairstyles, different color hairstyles, different personalities, they all talk differently. And I like how Dee Dee likes Joe and wants to be with him, but then when confronted with the reality of the situation, leaves. Angelica has no real emotional connection to Joe, but still wants to be with him. And maybe by the end, either develops a crush on him, or because she does seem legitimately sad when he says no. And then the next morning, as they're sailing off, she's like, well, you know, waving to him, which is somewhat out of character for what we've seen. So at the very least, she's made a friend. And then you have Patricia, who is the exact opposite of Dee Dee, where she doesn't want anything to do with
what
him,
we
but
have
then by the end, she wants to
kind
be with
of the
him.
Three phases of dealing with it, where... See, Angelica never actually learns about Joe's impending death. She doesn't know that he's jumping into anything or whatnot, but she...
No.
Resist an emotional connection with him in favor of a physical connection with him. But without the emotional, he doesn't want the physical. Which is a little countercultural.
Right.
But also really telling in the moment. You know, he's trying to find a connection to anything. He's about to enter the great beyond, as far as he's concerned. The ultimate disconnect.
Yeah. And, you know, that is probably, looking back on it, at the end when she seems sad and when they're sailing away, she seems actively not upset, but, you know, like she's going to miss him. I get the impression that that was maybe the first time somebody turned her down for the physical side of things.
Well, she practically says as much.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, maybe this is just a genuinely nice guy, mm-hmm. and, you know.
And so, and then, of course, you know, with Patricia, someone who actively rejects him because of what he represents and what her decision represents to her.
Yep.
Eventually realizing that anybody who would voluntarily, you know, nurse her back to health, keeping her covered, giving her the fresh water, etc., to his own detriment, because she doesn't know mm-hmm. that he's going to die at that point, I don't think, either. Or she does, because she told him right before the storm, or he told her.
She knows.
It's been
yes.
a bit since I've sat down with it. And so their connections, all of that feeding together to life is meaningful when we choose to live it in relationship. And apparently the volcano god agreed.
Yeah.
This is one of those where I think if you went expecting a When Harry Met Sally kind of romantic comedy, you'd leave confused and maybe a bit yes. agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch just the previews for this, the trailers, they don't represent what this movie is. You think it's going to be some silly, you know, in the heart of paradise kind of thing. What's that? 20 minutes of the whole movie?
Maybe.
The rest of it is this consistent journey. And it is probably it is just a kind of magnificent, goofy movie. You know, anytime there's a gag, it's meant to be there. Some of the visuals become a little bit corny after a while. You know, the crooked sidewalk to the thing is the same as the crooked path up the volcano, which is also the shape of the lightning bolts during the storm.
Yeah. It's also the company logo.
Yeah. So this one is a see it from me. I think this is one of those where it is not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but this is also a group of very good actors at a particular point in their career when they knew enough about who they were and what they were about to do it really well. You yeah. know, Tom Hanks had just come off of like Big, you know, and I don't know if Sleepless in Seattle was before this or after.
After. Sleepless okay. in Seattle is a...
That's the one coming.
Yeah, that's the next one. And then You've Got Mail is the third one.
Then You've Got Mail.
So effectively, yes, Joe versus the Volcano came out in 1990, but it was an 80s movie.
Yes, it is an 80s movie.
So you could say that it's 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
For those three.
And so it plays really well. Also, really great music.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was yeah. really good music. The opening 16 tons.
Yes.
Was just, it was beautifully done.
Oh, absolutely.
So, how about you? What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's a see it. You know, don't, you know, like I said, it's not everybody's cup of tea. It's not something I would want to watch all the time. But I would go, like, you know, you got nothing to do on a late Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, whatever, and you just want to chill with somebody and watch something that is goofy, but, you know, mm-hmm. semi-romantic. Yeah, pop it in.
And it's like an hour 40.
Yeah, it's not that long.
Not a huge time commitment. So. No. All right, well, see it from me, see it from Justin. I probably have another 20 minutes of things to talk about it, but I think that would start pushing our luck. So
probably.
So I think it's your turn to pick something.
Yeah, and I think I got something.
Awesome.
Hello, me popsicles. why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.